Welcome to the panel, Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Grants. My name is Diane DiPasella, and I'm from Fractured Atlas. I'm the director of the fiscal sponsorship program at Fractured Atlas. And I'm excited to have some great panelists here today, some funders and filmmakers. And we're going to share some information with you about applying for grants, specifically about some of the grant programs that they operate. And we're definitely going to have time for questions, so hopefully you guys will have some. Probably hold those till the end, last 20 or 30 minutes. So I thought to get started, I'll tell you a little bit about Fractured Atlas and what brought me here and why this panel, and then let each of our panelists tell you guys a little bit about themselves, the organizations that they work for, the programs that they're running, any projects that they're independently working on. So for those of you that are not familiar with Fractured Atlas, Fractured Atlas is a nonprofit arts service organization. We're a national organization, and our mission is to help artists in all disciplines with the business side of their work. We have a variety of different programs and services that do this. The program that I run, the fiscal sponsorship program, is a fundraising program. So how many of you are familiar with fiscal sponsorship? Okay. For those of you that are not, fiscal sponsorship is a fundraising program that enables you to receive tax-deductible dollars. Basically, it's crowdfunding plus. What it does is, you know, it kind of opens the door to fundraising opportunities that you wouldn't typically have access to. So that means applying for grants that only a 501c3 nonprofit organization can apply to. That means being able to give your donors tax receipts, and that can be, you know, through a regular letter campaign writing, or if you're using one of the crowdfunding platforms like Indiegogo or Rocket Hub, we can work with you to help give your donors tax receipts. So why I'm here today is because I work a lot with funders and helping artists apply for grants. And there's, you know, a lot of information out there about grants, but there's a lot of things I think that come up with grants that, you know, it's hard unless you get some face-to-face time with the actual funders to find out what you need to know. So I'm happy to be here today with these ladies to share some information about their grants programs. So, Tamara, if you want to introduce yourself and San Francisco Film Society, and then we'll just go down the row.
My name is Tamara Badgley Horowitz. I'm the Grants and Residencies Coordinator at the San Francisco Film Society. We are an organization. We also put on the San Francisco International Film Festival, and I'm part of the Filmmaker 360 department, which includes project development, fiscal sponsorship, grants, and residencies. We have three grants, one documentary post-production grant, one screenwriting grant, and one narrative grant that covers films that deal with social justice in any phase of production. And, yeah, that's about it.
Great. So, I'm Leah Giblin, and I work at CineReach. I'm the grants associate there. But CineReach is a not-for-profit production company and foundation that supports vital stories artfully told. We have three different arms. One is a fellowships program, which is for filmmakers working in short form, and it's based around structured mentorship over the course of several months. There's also productions, whereby we're financing films and being more involved in their all the decisions that lead to its execution and then path after completion. And then I work with the grants department, which is the program through which we provide support to films at all points in their production life, from development through post, and all types of films, nonfiction, fiction, and things that kind of push those boundaries as well. And that's pretty much it for now. Yeah.
Great. My name is Ellen Spiro, and I'm not a funder, and I don't work for a foundation, but I've been applying for grants and working with foundations since the late 1980s, when I received my first grant for $500, and have continued to fundraise in, you know, good times and bad times. So I'll be happy to offer some insights during this panel into the process from being, you know, the side of the filmmaker.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Judith Helfanden. I wear a couple of hats, but I think the two that's most useful when it comes to chicken and egg is I'm an independent filmmaker who's been making documentaries and fundraising for documentaries for over 20 years and have had the benefit and the glory and the tragedy, all of them combined all at once, sort of raising money and maintaining relationships with funders and donor activists and people who deeply care about issues and also care about film. And it was with that hat that myself and two colleagues who are both producers and filmmakers in their own rights and also people that were working, sort of had their hand in philanthropy through family foundations, we decided to kind of take all of which we understood and knew and our access, multiple access points in different worlds and put together something called Chicken and Egg Pictures. We only support women, but we do support films that are made cooperatively between men and women where they're both in an equal leadership role as directors. So sort of our cutoff point these days is pretty much directors, but we do support co-directing teams. And it's really important, we feel, to do that. So we've drawn a line in the sand gender-wise, but not in terms of creativity and certainly not in terms of fusion of the sexes. It's a weird thing to say. And we support in very similar ways that CineReach does, and in fact, sometimes we actually support together. And I think the best way, and maybe it's just a nice kickoff to go back to everyone, to kind of think about this is the intersection between grant makers. I mean, grant makers kind of work together. There's an ecosystem of grant makers, and we kind of rely on each other. Well, we do some development, we do completion, we could help a filmmaker, particularly in a nascent form, and maybe when everyone else isn't really believing in them, we could sort of help believe them into being in the beginning, and then they'll gain their strength, and then they could go somewhere else, and those funders will say, oh, well, Chicken and Egg or CineReach or Catapult, who do development, are behind them, so they're vetted a little bit. So on one level, it's really great because we kind of all work together. On another level, it looks like it's a lot of inside baseball and we're just trading cards and filmmakers with each other. Say, if you fund this one, we'll fund that one. And I would never say that that doesn't happen. But it's an interesting ecosystem in the same way that you all work with each other collaboratively. We end up looking towards each other for the same thing. So anyway, we fund a whole range of things from development to completion. Development, we call... You know, we call most of these things I believe in your grants because it's nice to have someone say that to you, have that on a piece of paper. And then sometimes we do executive producing in our hands. We roll up our sleeves and we work much harder. And in that way, we're sort of a nonprofit production entity that's sort of a hybrid. And we give an award here for fiction, which is our way of tipping our feet in the fiction world. It's just for women directors. So we'll find out Tuesday.
Great. Thanks. Leah, I was hoping you could talk a little bit about how to go about finding grants, sort of what it's like to enter into that period when you're like, okay, I'm ready to apply, but I'm really not sure how to go about finding ones that are a good match for the work that I'm producing.
Well, there's a thing called Google.
But honestly, I mean, you do want to sort of start just learning as much about what's out there, what your opportunities are, and you know, if it does start with a Google search, so be it, because usually what you'll find is once you start with one funder, as Judith was saying, there's often a list of resources on their websites, other opportunities to explore, and you should avail yourself of, you know, those resources, and just start investigating as many different options as you can. Also, another helpful thing that funders and other organizations do is often alert you to those deadlines and opportunities, whether they're their own or...
So if you Googled grant deadline...
Yeah. But, like, I know, like, people through their Facebook or sometimes their email blasts will just say, like, hey, be aware of it, BritDocs, Bertha, you know, Foundation, their new initiative is now accepting submissions. And it's just kind of, like, so that... I think we're all, like, you know, trying to provide this level of understanding of what's out there so that even if your project isn't maybe finding its support through our organization, it might find it elsewhere, or just, you know, just kind of empowering the filmmakers to to investigate those different ones.
Well, I mean, there's two different ways to kind of think about finding grants. There's foundations in the world out there that just cares about the medium and they care about filmmaking, And then there's the whole world that cares about the issues and the kinds of stories that you're telling. So if you think about it from two different ways, I mean, it's at least two different ways to kind of attack something. They care about people like me making movies. They care about movies being made, or they care about these issues being explored through a good creative lens that's not just about the issue. It's more than a PSA. Or maybe it is a PSA. And they're going to care about that. So in the foundation world, there's the foundations that care about that stuff. Sometimes they also fund film. And then there's those that care about that stuff, and they'll say, we don't fund film at all, because they're terrified. They don't really know how to go through that process. But they often do fund the issue, and they recognize that all of the organizations and the grassroots activists that are working on those issues actually need tools to explore them and help change the hearts and minds of the world in which they're working in. And that's where this thing called engagement comes in. So sometimes, you know, you're not just making a movie, you're making a movie to be used. And that's another way to get into those foundations. But when you do the Googling, I mean, what you're sort of looking for are, you know, foundations and the entities that care about the sacred geography that your place is connected to. They care about the fact that a story is going to be told. I mean, they care about the form, or they really care about the issues. And the best way to figure out who cares about the issues that you care about is to look to see who's funding the grassroots organizations and all of the movements that you're trying to support with your movie, if that's kind of what you're trying to do. So, you know, sometimes there's foundations that only care about Texas. So they only fund in Texas. And that's another way. It's like, my movie's being shot in Texas. I live in Texas. I'll do that. And that's not just going to be the Texas grant makers. I mean, that's a very small little bit amount of money. But there's a ton of foundations that just care about making Texas a better place. So there's a lot of ways to Google. I mean, if you just Google film and grant, it's not going to, you really have to get very creative to sort of think about the different access points.
Can I just throw out a couple of questions to find out who's in the room?
Good idea.
How many filmmakers do we have here? Okay, how many of you are, for the most part, documentary filmmakers?
Oh.
Okay, and how many, so fiction, everybody else, fiction filmmakers, raise your hand. Okay, that's interesting, because my assumption was that everybody was a documentary filmmaker.
And then given that, how many, in the fiction world, how many fiction projects get grants compared to documentary projects? I mean, in terms of how to fundraise for fiction.
I mean, there are definitely less grant-making opportunities for fiction projects, but there are those. And both CineReach and San Francisco have those, so... You have multiple narrative projects and programs. So.
Yeah, we have two, as I mentioned. I was also just going to say, to answer your other question, so I think I would also put a push out there for fiscal sponsorship, because I know for us, mm-hmm. in our project development program, we really pride ourselves on working with filmmakers really hands-on. Okay. You know, my name and email address are on the website. You can call me, you can email me, you can ask me questions before the grant process. You know, I can tell you about how we like our synopsis. I can tell you about, you know, how we like our application to be structured. And for fiscal sponsorship, we will work with you on other grant applications to help you, you know, and also to find out what's out there that might be a good fit for you. We will look at projects that we have that maybe have similar themes or might, you know, how they got funded and how maybe that can help you along. So, you know, I think it's really important to find out who's out there and reach out to them and try and build those personal relationships right away.
And I think given that, I mean, I know that when we, at the end of the day, when we look at, you know, we do two open calls a year. We get about 300 to 340 submissions. And we narrow it down and maybe we'll fund, I'm just on average, between 10 and 15, like in that period of time. And often I'll look at them and I'll say, how many of those people did we meet along the way? Like, how many of those people did we meet at a filmmaking market? How many of those people did we meet at a pitch session that was even informal? That might have been like that the San Francisco Film Society has these informal pitch sessions. And actually more and more people are doing that, where, you know, you throw your hat in the ring and you get to pitch to a couple of professionals that are right there. And then there's a little mixer and then you talk to each other. So I would say that, you know, Facebook is good. FaceTime, much better. And the majority of the people who get grants, they're not cold. It's not like they sent it in and someone reads it and they're like, oh my God, I have to fund this person. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Because the deep, at the end of the day, it's like filmmaking is collaborative and it's competitive and it's persuasive. And it's like, you don't persuade people just on Facebook. You persuade them because of FaceTime and, you know, they've seen your eyes. You've shared a coffee across a table. They've heard your voice on a phone. But it's usually because they've met you. So the best way to get that FaceTime is to do exactly what you're doing. It's you're here, and afterwards you could rush up to everybody with your cards. But it's to get a fiscal sponsor who brokers these relationships, who feels that they're responsible to you to do that. And they're often your first, what's that word? Something of entry?
Barrier.
They're the first point or barrier of entry. So, and it's important because, you know, if you have a really bad, you know, poorly written description of what your project is and you can't describe it, better to have them when the stakes are low say, I don't really understand this. Could you please rewrite this and come back to us, or come and have a meeting and I'll tell you how to do this in 50 words? Because they actually care about you. They're not going to be judgmental. By the time you get somewhere else, it's just harder to get in. So they help you kind of get in, and it's safe. Just safety is good. So that's the thing. It's like, to get to the grant, to get to that relationship, you really need to have some FaceTime. So whenever it's possible to participate in live stuff, where it's a 4-hour workshop where you get to work with someone and you get to listen to them and then you can talk to them afterwards, or it's some kind of pitch training, or it's any kind of training where it's just safe to fail in front of people. And they really, they like that. And they believe in your humility, and they believe in your chutzpah, and they believe in you kind of failing forward. That's the person who's going to say, wow, I was really moved by that story about, you know, the blind scientist who's working with explosives. I think that's extraordinary, and it's not right for me, but I know somebody. And, like, that's really your ticket to entree to get to the grants.
Right. Ellen, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about, like, once you find that entrance and once you're ready to, like, start preparing the grant, like, what do you need to do? What are some of the steps that you need to go through to actually, like, put a proposal together? Tips on that sort of process?
Just, you know, I can be pretty succinct about this, I think, just because I've built relationships with some of the funders, and later we've had conversations, and I've been like, well, so what finally, you know, made it happen? Like, how did we get through that last step and get the big grant? And it's always the work sample. So there's a lot of writing involved, which involves, you know, visualizing your project and imagining it and selling people through words. But as Judith said, that's not, in the end, what I've always heard from the people that have funded me, that it was the work sample. It was, you know, the 10-minute piece. And then, you know, there's this irony of, like, well, how do I get the funds to get to the 10-minute piece? Because it's got to be really perfect.
That's why we're called chicken and egg. I was looking for it.
Yeah, because, you know, it's rare to find a foundation that will fund, you know, before you get to that point. I think most need to see something. You know, they need to see the evidence of you're going to make something wonderful. And so the truth is, I, you know, end up usually self-funding up until that point. And, you know, or funding on very little money up until that point.
I mean, the sample's really important. I mean, the first thing, though, is the writing is really quite key. And we have a really good, I think we and CineReach both have really, really well-executed and good proposals that you could download, that you could use as models. And so when we wrote ours, I really kind of designed it with the idea that you're probably not going to get funded. You're probably going to not, you won't get it, but what do you get out of the process? And you really need to think about that every time that you apply to something. What am I going to get out of this? I'm going to put all this effort into it. And the thing that you get is better prose, a better way of describing what you're doing, a refresher course in your own idea, an opportunity to push yourself to think out of the box and to sort of think, well, what worked, what didn't work last time? What can I make work this time? So you're going to come out with a 50 character description of your project, and you actually need that. You're going to come out with a really good log line or a really bad log line that's not going to work, but at least you'll know that. You'll come out with a small synopsis that's very visual, that really needs to feel like you're looking at a movie while you're reading this thing, and you're not reading a thing that's like, I'm going to make a movie that's, you know, the Inconvenient Truth, you know, meets chess. It's like that's not what we, you know, this is a story, you know, about, you know, three kids who got through, who are charting their future at 12 by being great chess players. And I'm saying that because the movie's having its world premiere and we love it and funded it. And it's, you should watch it, Brooklyn Castle. But, you know, that, like, she didn't talk about chess. She talked about these kids and the school. And so I think, and in terms of if you can't self-fund that little trailer, right? We at least allow you to. A lot of people don't. You know, if you even just had a great HD camera on your cell phone and you had an extraordinary tiny little interview with someone and you were very clear, it's like, look, I don't have the money to do this, but this is this person and I spent time doing the following. I followed them around and I have this amazing interview in their kitchen and here. Here are these still photographs. Here's the article that led me to them. Like, if you could build an argument. And the thing is, if you have Final Cut Pro and you have, you know, a little narration, you could build a little pitch book that's really unique, that's going to have your heart and soul and passion in it. And it's kind of like, you know, it's, you know, and you could even interview, you know, you could have, it could be kind of like the really cool things that work on Kickstarter. It's like, that's really what people want to know. They want to meet your passion plus this extraordinary story plus your access and what makes you really, really unique. And if you don't have the money to kickstart yourself, what you do have is your unique access that makes you the only person that could do that.
Yeah, and I want to just say that it's a different era now. And so we have Kickstarter and Indiegogo. And has anybody done a successful Kickstarter campaign in this room? Wow, okay. Can you tell us a little bit about it? Yeah, you, because I saw your hand.
Could you tell us what your name is in the one-liner for your project? That would make us all want to support you.
The project is it's actually done. It debuts at Dallas next month. It's a comedy about guys who work in movie theater and like life-changing things happening, and then they gotta either take the easy road and goof around at the theater, or like accept the risks of moving on and fighting their own arrested development and all that stuff.
What I wanted to say, though, in conjunction with Kickstarter, and a couple, three, four hands went up, is that to me this is the equivalent of self-funding, you know, the beginning stages, is, and it connects with distribution, and later on when you need to connect with your audience, because you're connecting right now with your foot soldiers who are going to support your project, and if it's a social issue documentary about a particular issue, you know, then those people are going to be people who are connected with the issue. If it's a fiction project, they're going to be connecting with you, you know, so you get those people on board, and that's a great way to start. It just makes so much sense.
Yeah, just because pretty standard part of all these grant applications is a question about your intentions for how you would use the funds. So it's really important for us to understand how you've already utilized the resources, you know, at hand, and what you've been able to do with those, so that we can sort of see where you might, you know, how you might run with further support. So knowing that someone was able to put together a really amazing 10 minutes or 5 minutes that sort of, you know, succinctly demonstrates their approach to the subject allows us to say, okay, well, now we... Yeah, it helps us to say they'll be able to do more with more.
Tamara, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about anything you've ever witnessed in terms of reviewing grant proposals that you were like, this is an absolute like thing that you shouldn't do in terms of putting a grant proposal together. If you have any examples of just sort of on the other end, you know, we're talking all about the things that are important for the grant proposal, but what should you not be doing?
I would highly suggest reading all of the guidelines very carefully because you would be surprised at people don't do that very often. I had one filmmaker who applied for a screenwriting grant. So our grants are two-phase process. We have a letter of inquiry, and then we select finalists, and those finalists are invited to submit finalist materials on which we judge them to win or not win. And I had somebody apply for a screenwriting grant, and then in his finalist materials, he wrote, you know, "I'm so thankful to be considered for this grant. We're starting production on our shoot tomorrow." And I was just kind of like, you know, you just totally disqualified yourself, buddy. I really liked his project, but, it, you know, there was nothing we could do for him anymore. So, you know, as I mentioned before, if there's any way to contact the funder, call them, you know, ask them what their guidelines are. We have a very specific way in which we like our synopses to be, and I'm here to tell you that if you call me. And so I would say, you know, do your part of it, you know, read through the application, make sure you have any questions, you know, find out if there's any informational sessions that the funder is giving, you know, be diligent in your research, I would say.
Yeah, just to clarify, call after you've read everything. Because that's also, like, the introduction that you're making for yourself. You don't want that impression to be, like, that you haven't, you're not prepared, that you're not, you know, that you want to project that sort of ability and what you're going to, the preparedness that you're going to bring to the grant writing is also what you're going to bring to the filmmaking. So don't come in saying, you know, exactly like I have a documentary. And you're like, well, this is a program for specifically for narrative projects. Like, it's just, it's a little embarrassing.
I actually just had someone apply for our narrative grant with the document. I've had, well, that happens all the time. But I wrote him back and I said, you know, is this a documentary film? And he said, well, yeah. And I said, but this is for a narrative grant. And he was like, well, this is narrative. And I was like, I was sort of dumbfounded. I didn't quite know where to start with.
Oh, wait, you're saying my documentary...
He was like, this is, you know, there's a narrative element to it. I mean, not that it was in Melange, but
right.
He didn't understand that documentary is fiction and narrative is not.
You know what, I think a lot of people, I think the narrative word, I mean, I think the narrative word is confusing because I do think that narratives are, I mean, this, if you want to, we could all argue about semantics. And but he was right in that we should be demanding that our nonfiction films have great narratives.
Absolutely.
And so we should, there's nonfiction and there's fiction, you know, but they're all narratives. But, you know, someone who's like defending nonfiction because they feel like documentary gets a bad rap is always going to be like, it's a narrative. Anyway, one thing you shouldn't do is don't argue with your colleagues. No. is actually don't diss other films. Don't diss other films. Don't diss other filmmakers. You should really be very aware of the field of what's out there and what's already been done. And the way we have these really great, I'm encouraging you to do this because I think that a lot of the questions and the things that we're encouraging you to think about are really useful in any of these other grants that you might go to. So it's like, don't diss the field. Either talk about how you're building on it or how you're challenging it. And that, or how you're adding to it, but don't diss it. So, you know, it's like people often, they don't like Ken Burns or they don't like his style or they think he has too much airtime. So the way that they think that they'll appeal to us because we really care about, you know, making sure that there's more space and there's more access and there's more diversity and there's all this more stuff and the little gal, you know, gets inside. That doesn't mean that you should diss everybody else. Like, that's not the way in. It's not what we really want to hear. We just want to hear what you have to bring. So I do think that you really want to know the field. Because imagine, you're really trying to preempt somebody's criticism. It's like being in a minefield, and you kind of need to know where the mines are. So you want to demine the field. So you have to think about, well, what are they going to say? Ugh, another breast cancer movie? Been there, done that. You know, ugh, another movie about football. Ugh, they just won an Oscar, right? So it's like you really have to be thinking about how am I challenging this? What's really different? And you also have to know what's out there. So, you know, this film is going to build on the work of X filmmakers who did this and this and this, and the way it's going to do this is like this, with a completely fresh perspective. You know, it's from the inside. Those filmmakers did a great work, great job. They did it from the outside. You know, they were on the outside looking in. I'm the daughter of the football coach who was never home for 10 years, you know, who is too busy on Friday nights to be like out watching what's going on with me and my brother. And I'm going to tell you the story of football coach widows and their children. I know, I'm just telling you. It's like, I'm in Texas, so I'm thinking about that. But it's just, that's kind of what we're looking for, is like, what gives you this really unique access? And how are you, if you're going to be doing something that's already, quote unquote, sort of been done, how is it adding to that in a unique way?
I want to open up the floor for questions, but before I do, I just want to mention a couple of other resources for finding grants. The Foundation Center is the most comprehensive database in the United States of grants. It's free to use if you go to one of their offices, or it's like $20 a month to use it at home online. And also, like, if you're seeking grants and you're starting to look at other films that, you know, you think are similar to the work that you're producing, you're looking at who funded them. And you're saying, okay, so they got grants from, you know, X, Y, and Z, but you can't find anything online about those grants. Sort of a back door to finding out about those grants is to look in GuideStar. GuideStar.org is it's a listing of all foundation and nonprofit tax filings. So what you can do is you can look up that funder through GuideStar, and you can see sort of who they've given to, what the amounts they've given to, and you can find out a little bit more information about, you know, what they're sort of looking at and what their sort of programs are.
And I just wanted to say, I mean, just going back to the resources that you can find on websites and organizations make available to you. You got, like, shout out to the Austin Film Society, because their website's really interesting. They have a page that's called, like, Other Grant Resources, which lists the Foundation Center as well as articles and books and a variety of ways to, like, kind of inform yourself. It's pretty fantastic. What I was looking at, the Texas Film Production Fund, what they're able to support, shorts as well as features, and a range of approaches. So, anyhow.
Cool. And, you know, each one of these websites usually has a blog. And on the blog, they're featuring the films and the filmmakers that they've funded, or their filmmakers or their grantees that are out in the world and doing stuff. And I just, again, it's like, I think the process is as important as the product, and building the relationships through that. So, you know, whenever you have the opportunity, and it's tough because most of us have day jobs and we work, and it's sort of hard to be able to, like, take off a week or do that kind of thing. But if you sort of plan ahead for next year, like the IFP week in New York City, it's actually a really interesting week. If there's any way possible that you're able to, I don't know, I wish they had, like, a shadow fellowship where you got to shadow. We should tell them to do that. It's like, instead of the fellowship, like, it's the shadow fellowship, and you get to kind of shadow different filmmakers for a day, and you get to sit at tables, and you get to listen to how they do it, and you get to meet people, and you get to sit in on, you know, we should totally push them to do that. The fellowship.
Fellowship.
That's good.
That's really good.
The shadow fellowship.
Judith loves pots. That's going to happen. I love that. That's going to come to be just because it has a good name.
But you could say
titles.
Titles are very key. But that's the kind of thing that, if, how many of you live here in Texas? Okay.
Oh.
So, you know, part of your ability to be here is because you didn't have to pay for a hotel room, right? Because you can't get one here. Or you knew someplace to stay. So I think that, you know, you could even say that, you could suggest that, and they're very good about suggestion boxes. Is there a filmmaker that I could get a fellowship with next year who would take me under the wing and I could see what they're doing? I'm really interested in documentary. Could I do that for a day with, you know, Chicken and Egg? Is there a way? I mean, that would be another incentive. Like, they could give, everybody wants to get, you know, a gold or a platinum ticket. It's like, yes, I'm willing to let someone follow me around, and I'll show them the ropes, and they could sit in on some of my meetings, as long as they're cool not to talk about it too much afterwards, but they're learning the ropes. And then they get, like, you'd get a badge for that, because everyone wants to come here. I'm just saying, like, that's the smartest thing that you could do, is kind of watch and learn and be in these rooms but it's time intensive. So, and I know you work. But so if you, and the second thing to that is going to these blogs and watching and really looking at How are people writing about their experiences? What are they talking about? What are these, and what are we putting on our, what are these foundations putting on their sites? Because we wouldn't put something on our blog if we didn't think that it was a way for us to explain what we do better through the voice and the vision of someone that we're funding. And the more that you learn that kind of parlance and those, how people talk and think, the more that you're going to understand, does my project fit? Does my project help stretch what they're doing and actually help them build? And that's really why we all fund on some level, is we're trying to learn the field, and we learn the field by funding people who are taking creative risks. So if you could build that into your writing or into your pitch, well, you know what? I'm doing this interactive thing, and it's a, I don't know, it's a webisode, but I'm doing it in a senior citizen home with seniors. So I'm trying to like help build community with seniors. I'm helping to do something that's intergenerational. I'm helping them learn about the internet, and I'm helping them learn about, you know, technology. And we're telling really critical stories about senior citizens, like how hard it is for them to go food shopping. I'm just throwing it out there. Like, that's going to speak to a lot of different people. They'll be like, God, that's so interesting. We've never done that before. We're scared of that stuff, but maybe we'll take a risk with you.
Speaking of never done that before, just a quick little tip if anybody's, you know, sort of new at this. The first thing I do when I think of a new documentary idea, which is like several times a day, is I Google the idea and the word documentary. Or, you know, your fiction, you know, find out what else is out there. That doesn't mean you can't do it, but you just need to be aware of what else is out there. And then another just demystification of funding is look at the credits on films. And you'll see who funded it. It's just right there for you on any DVD or Netflix. All that information.
So let's open it up for questions. I see this right there. Yes. I think that there's a mic in the back. Oh, sorry. I can't. You can't. You can give it to him. We'll bring it forward.
Testing, testing. Thanks for being on the panel, guys. I had a question about the process of letters of inquiry. If that's sort of a firewall to just test if people are really committed to their projects, or if those are actually very hard deadlines in the administration of things. And secondly, I was also interested about funding documentaries specifically after production for post or for outreach, if that's something that happens usually or very infrequently, rather.
Our letter of inquiry dates are very fast and hard. It's an important step, you know, it tells us a lot about you, tells us about your project, tells us about who you are as a filmmaker. As I mentioned, you know, we really love to build those relationships before that deadline is due. Don't call us the day before, but call us a few weeks before, and we will look at your entire application, give you feedback on it. That's something that, you know, because we charge an application fee, we want you to get something out of it, so we will give you feedback after the letter of inquiry phase is through to tell you why you didn't make it through. You know, maybe that round was just particularly difficult, but, you know, we want you to feel like you have gotten a better understanding of your own project through that process. As far as post-documentary grants go, that's going to be always easier to get a post-grant because you will have something to show.
Should, if you're applying for a post-production grant, you should.
There are outreach grants also. There's BritDocs has an outreach grant. I know if you live in California, the Calhoun has an outreach grant. I don't know if you guys know more.
But I don't think we're answering your question. You're saying what if you're really, you meaning like if you just need funding to complete the last, like your mix and your.
I mean, I think that's two, you know, outreach and mix are going to be two very different grants.
Yeah, I mean, you can get, that's called completion funding. And it's not like the last little bit. it's really important, right? It's giving the funding to the conductor who has, you know, 300 musicians in front of him, and he's putting it all together at the last minute. It's extraordinary. So, I mean, you know, that could range between $10,000 and $20,000 right there, right? Between your mix and color correction and making the dubs and reformatting and doing whatever you have to do to get into festivals. So that's a real grant. That's a completion grant. You know, in the chicken and egg world, we call that a Liberty grant, because at the very last minute, we really want people to have the freedom to go to a film festival and not having to be fundraising at the last second for that stuff. If you have a woman co-director, that's something you could potentially apply to us for. And our next open call is June 30th, and our stuff will be going up very soon. But, you know, I think the one film, it's very hard to recoup debt, but it's easier to recoup debt before your movie's done than when your movie's done. So if you want to do that, I don't know what your movie's about, now's the time to do that. And I would do it in a combination of ways. I would do it with the Kickstarter, because I think that if you can, you know, you have lovely material that you could excerpt and you could show them on there, and you could build a very interesting way of doing that. It's sort of like, hey, everybody, we got this far. We need you to take us to the next. So at the very least, you could, instead of recoup, you know, you could add money to the money that you have to do to get to your completion. And, you know, maybe you don't get all of it back, but you get some of it back. But My Reincarnation, it's the first film that I know that she was really out about recouping her debt, which I didn't know that you could do and be really out about it. And she did. She raised $150,000. She had a whole team behind her, and it's about a Tibetan Buddhist. And there is something about Tibetan Buddhists who believe that everyone should see the teacher. So everybody's been funding that film. What's that? Well, I think that you should just be thinking about what's your niche, who's your audience, who deeply, deeply cares about this, and build your debt into the completion. And then do, when you're thinking about engagement, I mean, most of us believe that if you really are going to be doing, outreach is sort of an icky term. It's very one way. Engagement is a bit of a better term. If you're really committed to, you know, using your film to support the movements that are working on those issues, then there's a community out there who's really going to want you to do that. And you reach out to them first and sort of build them into it. If you have to do it at the last minute, at the very least, your movie's not totally done yet. So you could build their buy-in into it. So it's a good time to do that. And then there are foundations that just support that stuff, specifically engagement. And Fledgling Fund is one of them. But any of the foundations that care about the issues that don't fund film, they do fund education. We call it engagement. They call it education. So those are places that you could go to.
I just wanted to also mention that for us, director salaries are something that we happily pay for. We don't want you guys, you know, slaving out there for years and years and years and never seeing a dime for it. So that's a completely legitimate ask as far as we're concerned.
But can they ask for it after? That's his.
Well, if it's a post grant and they're asking.
Right. So in a post grant, she's great. So you guys right now, don't think about the money that you put in. Think about it as salaries moving forward. So from now until we get the movie done and the first 2 months, I'm just, you know, that's 3 or 4 or 5 months of salary. So that would be the equivalent of paying yourselves back. So that's a great way to do that.
Yeah, different organizations have different, like, their latitude about where they're able to still support a project. For CineReach, we're not able to support a project after it's premiered, and once it started that phase of its life, it's about getting it to that point. And so even if you're at the very tail end of your post, if you're very close to having paid those post fees, we're still able to consider it. It's just after it's out there that it's a little bit harder for us. It's impossible for us to then give you a grant. But also, I just wanted to address the letter of inquiry. It's maybe a matter of semantics again. Goes back to knowing what that means for a different organization, because they'll make clear what they're asking for. We do refer to our initial stage as the letter of inquiry, but that's an online application form. So it's not for us writing an email saying this is what I'd like to do, and like it's very much an application with a clearly set deadline. So
and I actually can't stress enough that if
and if a funder has a formal process like that for the LOI that you have to follow it, you shouldn't just decide, well, I'm just going to send them a letter because that's what I want to do. You should definitely be making sure that you're following whatever they're asking for, because it could disqualify you if you send them a letter when they actually have a form online.
And a lot of these places, basically, they don't want to look at anything. Some of them, the firewall is, I'm not going to look at any media until I've read through their LOI or I've read through their letter of inquiry. I don't know, but
yeah,
you
there's,
guys do.
There's a process there, but you know, but that we're able to consider things.
Right.
It's you know, multiple people looking at it as well. So.
No, I just want to explain that the reason why some of them, they're all different, but the imagine that someone's going to get 500 proposals. So some of them have a letter of inquiry, or that's what they call it, because they're sort of deciding who are they going to invite to come back as a finalist with more material and who's sort of that they can really, you know, spend a lot of time and energy focusing on and watching everything. And they're kind of cutting out the wheat from the chaff. So, which is really why the writing is really key. You know, ultimately, when once they get to the point where they pop it in and they look at it, then this is the thing that sort of drives the bus. But the initial bus is kind of that writing. So it's really, that's one of the reasons why they do it, is because they just can't deal with, you know, so many applications. So they already know if someone's really serious and they're probably a good fit, they're definitely going to be able to know how to write about what they're doing, and they're going to write about it in a way that's visual enough that it jumps off the page and onto my imaginary screen.
Yeah, I mean, also, if you're at that point in, with your post, then you know your project really well, and you should be able to, you know, concisely describe it and convey through the samples that you're able to share, but also through the writing all the things that you find compelling about it. And so you're in a good position to just be able to apply a little bit maybe more easily than other people are, who are still kind of at maybe figuring out what that film's going to be. But the point is that, like, you know, you might have a timeline that you've set up and feel that you're almost done with your post, but things come up, or maybe you realize that maybe when you start showing it to other people for feedback, you realize you need to revisit aspects of it, and maybe it's going to take you more time, and maybe it's even going to take you more money than you had anticipated. So you don't want to realize that and then realize that you should have applied for the grant and write us and say, can I get an extension, or I missed the deadline, because odds are you're going to get a no for that answer. So it's better to say, like, okay, I'm prepared to, I can share my project, and I'm just going to put it out there, and if there's this possibility that they're able to support me later on, then great. Then it's already, we're able to consider it as opposed to...
I think we should probably take a few more questions because we only have about 10 minutes left, but I also just want to add really quick, for LOIs, if you're fiscally sponsored, and for all grant proposals, Fractured Atlas will review your proposals or your LOIs and give you feedback before they go to the funder. So it's part of our program, is that we want your applications and your proposals to be as strong as they can. While we're not looking at work samples and we can't give you feedback on that, we can give you feedback on your writing and sort of how it's matching what the guidelines are for the foundations. So there's a question in the back over there.
Speaking of imaginary screens, I have a question about research and development, and what stage of research and development should a filmmaker apply? How much research and development needs to have been done?
I think it varies from foundation to foundation. So one foundation that we'll tell you about that's a relatively new one is called. Do you do documentary?
Yeah.
Okay.
My personal experience as an example is I've made documentaries. I have the resume. I have work samples from the past on other people's money. I've always been able to just be creative, but I found a subject that I feel is very important and I want to pursue.
Right. So there's a wonderful foundation called Catapult, the Catapult Fund, and they're based in San Francisco, but they fund all over the country, maybe internationally, but definitely in the country. They actually don't want you to have shot anything. They're the only one that I know, really, who are very what they are really paying for is the R&D to get you to help you make a trailer. We do that as well, but we do encourage you to come with something. Like, if you know that character, like the way I described, like, you don't need to have that whole big crew or to be shooting for a long period of time. We actually funded a movie that's taking place here in Austin called All of Me, that by Alexandra Leshkosh. She's based in New York, but her colleagues are based here. And, you know, and she did one interview with a pretty bad camera of a subject that was in Westchester that was related to here. And, you know, we gave her $7,500 based on, you know, a lot of discussion with her. We knew her. It was a second film that I knew that she was trying to do. But, you know, it was an interview. And then we gave her $7,500, and she was able to come to Austin, spend a lot of time, shoot, make a trailer. And then, you know, that trailer got funded by a bunch of other people. And, you know, now she's close to completion. So I would say there, in some cases, they just really, really want to see your extraordinary idea. And I would say if you could research it and write about it as much as you possibly can and make it feel like it's vivid, but you need to go and, you know, but you're building in what all the stuff you need to do. Like, I need to spend, you know, there's like all these great legitimate costs. Like, I need to go and spend a month there so I could learn how this all works. So this is R&D money for me to be an investigative journalist, for me to immerse myself in this culture, for me to immerse myself, use my camera, get some very basic stuff, come back, do a very basic thing, and then plan for something a little more. I mean, it varies, you know.
But I think also it's, you know, you said that you have some films that you've made already, and that's key for research.
Absolutely.
And development. You need to have something that demonstrates your abilities and the possible approach that you might then apply to this new story, these new subjects. If you're looking for research and development at a very early point and you don't have, and you've never made a film, it's very difficult odds that you're trying to overcome at that point, because people need to see something that points to.
I think the hardest trailer to make is when you're a first-time filmmaker and no one really knows who you are. Unless, of course, you've worked for lots of other people and they know the work that you've done as an associate producer and you're sort of a known quantity that way to some extent. That's the hardest thing, is sort of, and we have a space on our application because we really didn't want to, it's such a chicken and egg thing. It's like if you didn't finish something, in the old days it was like, if you hadn't finished something and that you directed, that was broadcast, you couldn't apply. It was like, how am I going to apply? So, you know, we've made a space, and I think it's a good argument that you could use in other places if they're open to it. You know, is I've done all of these things on other people's movies, where I'm a cinematographer, or I'm a sound recordist, or I've been a researcher, associate producer on all of these things, and excerpt from those finished, completed movies, the things that you could point to, and you could say, I did all the research, spent all the time with these characters, and got it to this point where the director could spend time with them and they were really comfortable, and here's my work. It's hard for you to see, but I'm going to underline it and point it out to you, and here's where I did all the archival research, and here's how it got used in the finished movie, and put a reel together that shows who you are in your work. And then when you make the compelling argument, and now I'm stepping out from behind the camera, from behind my boom, from behind my computer, and I'm taking these risks. I'm taking all the skills that I've learned and that I've generously shared, you know, as a team member with all these other people, and I'm bringing it to my work. And if your work is going to be really different than those, you could say, stylistically, it's really different than everything that you're going to see here, but the same passion and commitment and my ability to get there on time, 2 minutes.
We have 5 minutes, yeah, so I think we could take one more question. Somebody else already has the mic.
Do you work with international organizations as well for funding, or is that something just for U.S. residents? Is this just talking?
Again, you'll definitely find that information within the guidelines of any organization. CineReach is able to support films and filmmakers from any working in any country, but it varies. So.
We just started to.
Let's take one more.
It's on the website. So, any other questions before we wrap up?
Okay. I just wanted to ask about stacking grants. I read on the CineReach website about the film Circumstance, and it's a narrative film, and a lot of their funding came from nonprofits and 501c3s. And I was just wondering, how is that looked upon as a funder? Like, if you see that someone's gotten multiple grants, like for a poster, for a production. Because, I mean, to me, that's great as a narrative to see that happen. Like, a lot of, you won't you didn't have to pay for it. So as a narrative filmmaker, you see it more as like documentaries getting a lot of funding. So I was just wondering, as a filmmaker, what is it, just applying in a sequence of grants, or can you just like put your hand in every basket that you're eligible for?
Yeah, I mean, you can apply for everything, and you should.
Yeah.
And it's not that, oh, one funder sees and another funder has supported, and so like, well, we don't need to. If an organization is compelled towards that project, they're going to want to be behind it regardless. But I think it is important sometimes to see what, if you're doing this in a succession of support, what you were able to do with the support that you received early on from San Francisco, and what, and so now the point that you're at, and what you're, where you're going to go further. So just like be able to demonstrate that sort of progress and how you've been making the most of those, of that support thus far. Does that help?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, in the case of Circumstance or Beasts of the Southern Wild, it's really, as Judith mentioned earlier, it's kind of a vetting process. You know, it's like if we see that someone's getting behind this project, then we're like, okay, they're super legit, they're going to finish, you know, because our main interest is really, in the end, to support films that are going to get completed. And so any support we can give in that vein is where we're going.
I think what Leah said is a really good thing for you to be able to say literally, you know, on your application, with the generous support of CineReach, we were able to develop this and get it to this point. You know, at that point, we had a such and such, and we brought it to the San Francisco Film Society, and they gave us enough support so that the director could take a leave of absence from her job, and she was able to put all of her effort into that because she had a salary, you know, and actually even be able to define it and not, you know. It's like, and then we were able to take that rough cut and we brought it to the Sundance Film, the Sundance Fund, and they put us through the lab for the summer, and then we got to work with editors, and now we're at this point where we need to complete it. We'd love for you to join the team. And, you know, at that point, it's like probably someone's going to email someone else and say, wow, this looks really great. Are you glad you did this? Yes, please support it. We can't put any more money into this. Or you could even ask them to say, look, would you be willing to write a letter of recommendation on my part? I mean, I think the stacking thing just makes us all feel like we're teams, we're a team, and that we're part of the creative financing process, which isn't any different than the way that anyone makes a movie. It's collaborative, and that no one has to do all of it, because none of us can afford to do all of it.
Great. Well, we're actually out of time, but I just wanted to thank everybody for coming today. I also want to mention just really quickly that Fractured Atlas is a member-based organization, and I wanted to give all of you a free code for 3 free months of membership if you're interested in getting fiscal sponsorship. The code is FA, F as in Frank, A as in Apple, SXSW12. So, you know, if you use that, you won't have to pay membership for 3 months at Fractured Atlas.
Uh-huh.
Also, just another little plug, we're having a party tomorrow night with Indiegogo at Eisenhower's from 7 to 10 p.m., so if you could come to that, that would be awesome. And I don't know if any of you guys want to plug any films that are here that you guys are working with or any events that you're having, but this is the chance.
Well, we're having a party today from 3:30 to 5:30 at the Ginger Man on La Vaca and 4th. It's no RSVP. The Ginger Man.
Yeah, sorry, no CineReach party this year. But we do have some films that we hope you have a chance to check out. There's 3 documentaries, Chapatulas by the Ross Brothers, Code of the West by Rebecca Richmond Cohen is premiering today, as well as the U.S. premiere of Girl Model by Ashley Sabin and David Redman, and then a film called Compliance, which is a fiction dramatization of actual events. That's by Craig Zobel that we supported through a partnership that we have with the Sundance Institute. So, yeah, I hope you guys get a chance to see all of them. And if you don't see them here at the festival, then look for them, you know, beyond.
So we have an open call. That's for films that by women, directed by women, or co-directed by women. It's June 30th, and we'll be putting the materials up on our website soon. And I encourage all of you, across the gender divide, to actually go and like look at this application and download it, and then really take the frequently asked questions, which are very, very, very thorough. And a lot of what I said here, I mean, they'll just be really useful to you. And you could just fill it all out and then strip away all the stuff that says chicken and egg and all the little boxes that are specific, and you'll have a proposal. So I would challenge you to just do that for yourself, because it's actually, and I would challenge you to do the same thing with the CineReach application, because the way that they ask you to describe your project in these little boxes in whatever 200 characters or 300, it's really a good push. They ask you very unique questions that are really, really good for you to turn your stuff into storytelling and not just application speak. And the four films that we're here with that I encourage you to look at are Girl Model. We gave them a completion grant. Brooklyn Castle, which is a delightful film about chess in the schools, more than that. The Wonder Woman movie. I'm missing somebody. Oh, gosh.
You can also check out Natalie's film that she produced.
Yes, our senior program officer, Natalie Difford, produced a film called Give Me the Loot, which just had its world premiere last night. It's a narrative. It's going to be out during the week. And I'm sure you have a final word, and I'll come up with the last film that I'm blanking on.
My final word is just thanks to all of you for coming today.
Oh, yes.
And we're going to be here, so if you guys want to say hi, you know, we have the room for a little bit.
Okay.
I left some pocket guides to insurance, so if you're a filmmaker, you probably need insurance. They're in the back, sort of choose your own adventure guides to what kind of insurance you probably need. And I have mints.
Oh,
so
nice.
If anybody wants mints, please take them. I don't want to bring them back to New York.
So, listen, okay, Seeking Asian Female tomorrow at 11. It's going to be in the Vimeo room. Really, really interesting project. We need bodies.
Great. Thank
Bye.
You.